Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Only God can count the tears of parents whose kids have gone to the far country. Like the prodigal son in the Bible, their kids chose a path destined for failure. But there is great power in persistent prayer, and our God is a God who answers prayer. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on the power of praying parents.
Parents, what you need to do is to say to God, is there anything that we need to ask forgiveness for that has been part of the reason why our child is rebelling? Now, oftentimes there is nothing. As I mentioned, excellent parents, you have four children in a family, one rebels, the other three follow God. How are you going to explain that? It's not the fault of the parents, but sometimes the parents contribute to it. Years ago, I told you the story of a man who was sitting in the back row of a church. I always try to keep my eye on those of you at the back row and try to figure out, now, why are you sitting so far away? But I don't mind that as long as you can still hear me. Can you hear me back there? I hope so. He was sitting in the back of a church, and 200 men were on their knees praying. And in anger, he said, God, you'll never get me. You'll never humble me. Well, later on, he told the story that God humbled him. God got him, to use his phrase. He had to go to five sons and to confess to every one of them his anger, his inconsistent discipline, the bad witness that he was to them. And as a result of that, new relationships were opened up, and pretty soon the children began to warm up to him and warm up to God. The first thing that you have to do is to say, Lord, change me. You see, when you look at the story here of the Canaanite woman, it's very clear that Jesus just didn't want to do a work in her child of deliverance from a demonic spirit. Jesus wanted to do a work in her too. He wanted to solicit from her the kind of brokenness, the worship falling before him, the kind of faith that he could commend. Jesus wanted that also in her life. So there are two people that God wants to change in a family. I remember a couple that confessed that the real reason why they were so angry with their child's rebellion is because of their pride. You know, here we have this nice family in church. Everybody comes, everybody arrives at the same time, and we all go home. And now suddenly this nice family has a girl like that. You've disgraced us. Parents, repent of that. The real issue is not whether or not your child disgraces you. The real issue is whether your child has disgraced God and the gospel. And what we must do is to humble ourselves. So the first thing to pray is, God, change me. The second thing to pray is, Lord, he's yours. He's yours. You know, I got a text the other day from a couple that's dealing with a 16-year-old that got into pornography and that whole mess, and they're trying to navigate their way through. Well, when you're 16 years old, you still take guidance from your parents and all, and I understand that, though it's becoming more and more difficult. But, you know, there comes a time in the life of a child where you have to relinquish. That's the word that came to me yesterday afternoon. You have to relinquish that child and say, this child belongs to God. And there comes a time when you just simply say, you don't have to preach at him one more time about what he's doing is wrong. He's heard it 1,000 times. He's rejected it 1,000 times. He knows, but he's decided to go in the opposite direction. Parents, God can do what you and I can't. He can do what you and I can't. So you have to be willing to pray, Lord, he is yours. I think of this woman again in utter desperation. God, there's nothing that I can do to this child. There's nothing that I can say to the child or say to the demon. God, come, give me a crumb, say the word. Give me a little bit of the overflow of your tremendous power. That's all that I'm asking for. And Jesus said, oh, woman, great is your faith. May it be to you as you've asked. All right, the second thing you pray is, Lord, he's yours. Third, Lord, change his heart. Change his heart. Oftentimes what happens when we have a prodigal is this. You'll find that parents will say, now look at it, if you sleep together, look at all of the implications. Or stop getting drunk on the weekends. Don't you see that you're going to get into trouble? Yada, yada, yada. Doesn't work, does it? Don't you ever wish that you could compel the obedience of your child? Wouldn't it be great if we parents could make decisions for them so at last they'd get it right? I heard a few murmurs coming back from the congregation. I assume you're still out there, are you? You know why you and I can't compel obedience? Is because we can't compel the human heart. In the immortal words of Woody Allen, the heart wants what the heart wants. And you can't shut down that want. So what you really need to do is to say, oh God, change his heart. And that's something that only God can do. You can't. How we wish we could, but we can't. If your child has never been converted, the Bible says that conversion is like causing the blind to see. Can you do that miracle? Can you cause a blind man to see? It's like causing the deaf to hear. Can you cause the deaf to hear? It is like raising the dead. Can you cause the dead to rise? I can't, and I proved it. I told you years ago that I used to take young preachers to a cemetery and have them preach to the dead. Seriously. I wanted them to get the feel of what it was like to be a pastor. Came out a little differently than I intended, but you got the point. I mean, I'm serious. I would go to the cemetery. I asked them, choose a tombstone, preach to the dead. See if you can get them to rise. The color drained from their face. I would do it then, and then they'd say, how do you feel? They said, pretty stupid. I said, yeah, that's the way I feel too. And that's the way you feel when you preach the gospel, except for the fact God may cause a resurrection. If he doesn't, it's a lost cause. So if the prodigal is unconverted, you're praying for a miracle, change his heart. If he is converted, then he can prove it, because once you're converted, you mourn more over your sin than the unconverted do. The unconverted don't mourn over their sin. They're very comfortable with their sin. So what you pray is, Lord, change his heart. Number four, Lord, let sin run its course. Let sin run its course. Now, once a child is out of the home and old enough and on his way, you have to let sin run its course. One of the things you should never do is to help somebody in the far country enjoy the far country. The father of the prodigal didn't go out and say, you know, I just hate to see my kid eating with the pigs. I should go alongside and at least buy him a good meal. You know what brought the prodigal son home? It was the smell of pigs and the bland diet that he shared with them. And he finally came to his senses and said, enough already. I'm going to return to my father. I wish he'd have had better motivation to come back to dad, but that was the motivation. Now, once he got there, he was glad he did. Yesterday morning, I read a story about a widow who spent $200,000, including the mortgaging of her house, to help her wayward son stay out of jail and to buy him out of all the trouble he got himself into, all the time saying, well, Mom, you know, if you do this one more time, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back, yada, yada, yada. $200,000. According to the story, he's paid back about $1,500. And now I suppose he's hitting on somebody else to bail him out. Sometimes sin has to run its course. And people have to learn by experience that the way of the transgressor is hard. Next, what you have to say is, Lord, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to welcome him home. And I mean both of those words. I'm going to wait, and it may take years. And when he's ready to come home, I will be here to welcome him because I love him and I intercede for him. And I'll always be there for that child. Never, when he comes home, will he find the door closed in his face because he's humiliated us. No, you're always welcome back, and I'll wait for you to return. Now, I can't speak and preach on the power of praying parents without making a reference to my own parents. One day when Rebecca and I had just been married a few years, she said, I want you to sit down. I have some news for you. And she said, I just got a phone call from Canada that your dad has cancer. All right, so dad has cancer, so he's not going to probably live until their 50th anniversary. So the kids get together and they have a 45th anniversary. Because dad ain't going to live to number 50. Well, what happened was he went to church, the elders anointed him with oil, and somehow, for some strange reason, this tumor disappeared. The doctor said, I don't know, it's not here, but come back every year to have it checked out. Now, so after having a 45th, we had a 50th. And then for 55, we just took them out for dinner, but we had a big 60th. And then we had a 65th. And then we pulled out all the stops for a 70th. And they lived 7 years beyond that. My father did. 77 years they lived together. But here's the deal. At their 70th, I'm sitting beside my mother. Everybody's there. They've come from all parts of the country. And I said, Mother, do you know the names of all of your great-grandchildren? I didn't know who in the world all these kids belonged to. And really, I'll never forget her response. She went like this with her hand. Oh, yeah. She said, I have a prayer list, and I mention them to our Heavenly Father every day. Well, my friend, my dear mother is in heaven right now. She died at the age of 103. My father died at the age of 106. What a remarkable life they lived. But the thing that I remember about them the most is that they were praying parents. That's why I preach this message with so much conviction. I want every parent listening to be sure to listen to this message, to hear my heart, and as a result of that, recognize that one of our greatest contributions is prayer.
Today, Erwin Lutzer spoke again on the power of praying parents, another message in a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, more lessons we parents can take home. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win comes to you as a ministry of the Moody Church.